that's right. It seems like a good while since I've talked to my friend Congressman Clyburn right here on WCRS, but he is on the line. And first off, I have to congratulate him on the award, the Independent Publishers Book Awards that he received back in June. Those awards, he got the Silver Award Medal, and it's the largest international and regional book competition right here from South Carolina. How you doing, Congressman Clyburn?
Well, I'm doing fine, and thank you so much for that shout-out. I was really, really surprised and, of course, as you can imagine, very pleased with that award. We are very proud of the book. It has been doing extremely well. In fact, this morning I got a call from Sarasota, Florida, wanting to feature that book and leave it down in November. So we're proud of it, and if I can be presumptuous, Blessed Experiences is a book that is doing very well.
Right. Blessed Experiences, genuinely Southern, proudly Black. You know, don't you find it amazing, though, Congressman Clyburn, that from South Carolina, little South Carolina, and it's made such a big impact out there?
Well, you know, the book is all about experiences growing up and how you confront and overcome challenges along the way. And you may recall, I decided that I would write this book in such a way that the students I used to teach when I taught at the 10th grade level in high school would understand, be motivated by, and learn lessons from the book. So I think that what people are sort of piping into is the fact that there are a lot of lessons that young people can learn from the book. And I think that's what makes it a little popular. And, you know, in South Carolina, there are a lot of challenges. We here have, over time, been struggling with how to overcome our own challenges. There's a big part in the book about the Confederate battle flag and how that has played into some of my experiences in the governor's office back in the 1970s, when no one who looked like me was on the governor's staff. And, of course, it was 1970, was a year that we elected for the first time in the last century, African-Americans to the legislature. So those things were all in this book. And then the experiences I've had being the first African-American in Congress from South Carolina since the century before last. So all of these are the kind of challenges that young people can learn from. And I think that that was my purpose in writing the book, not to chastise anybody, but to challenge everybody.
You know, Congressman Clyburn, I read the op-ed that you did to the Huffington Post. And, of course, it was about the you covered two points, the Confederate flag and also the expansion of Medicaid here in South Carolina. One of the lines, though, that I really liked at it, and this goes right to what you're talking about, as a former teacher and current student of history, I believe there are appropriate times and places to honor heritage and display memorabilia. I do not believe in whitewashing historical events or blackening our cultural displays. Our history is what it is. That was so well written.
Well, thank you so much for that. And I feel strongly about that because, as you know, Greenwood, the local community there, has had some challenges in wanting to try to overcome some of its past history. And they were not trying to wipe anything out. They were just trying to make something right, you know. And now they're involved in a lawsuit against the state. I just believe that there are two sides to this. I have never been, nor will I ever be, as long as I'm in my right mind, for trying to change history. Statues on the State House grounds or depict historical events and historical people. I don't have a problem with that. It's when you give sovereignty to these kinds of people and these kinds of emblems is where I have a problem. And so I think that we ought to say to history, this is what our history was, is, will always be. You can't change it.
Right.
What we can do is learn from it. It was George Santayana, I think, who wrote, if we fail to learn the lessons of our history, we are bound to repeat them.
Correct.
There are a lot of things in our history, hopefully we will never repeat. But you don't know not to repeat it unless you learn what it is and honor what it is and work to overcome whatever that might be. So this whole thing about getting rid of Confederate monuments and statues, Jim Clyburn is not a part of that thought and will not participate in that effort.
Absolutely. Well, that's why I thought that was such a well-written article. And that leads me into my next thing. You know, Donald Trump wrote The Art of the Deal,
right.
but you know The Art of the Political Deal.
Right.
And so one of my questions is, when are you going to start teaching The Art of the Political Deal? Because I think we definitely are in need of that help in our country, not only in Congress and the Senate, but right here in South Carolina.
Well, you know, it's interesting that you would bring that up. I had no idea we were going in that direction. This morning, as I was leaving the barber shop, though my wife says I don't have enough hair to go to a barber shop, but my barber said something to me that started me to think, and I spoke at a funeral of former Senator Herbert Fielding two Saturdays ago, and Senator Fielding and I contested each other for this congressional seat back in 1992.
Mm-hmm.
In spite of the fact that we ran against each other, that the campaign, as you can imagine, got pretty contentious at times. It never ruined our friendship. And his son called me just before he passed away and said his daddy had been asking for me, and I went down to visit with him. And, of course, he wrote out his services about 3 years ago, and in that, he wanted me to speak at his homegoing service. And I did. My barber said something to me about that this morning, how our friendship seemed to have survived this political contest. And I said to the barber as I walked away, I said, you know, I would really hope that young people could learn from the way Herbert and I conducted ourselves back then and since. And it's all about recognizing that when you are a part of the political process, hopefully you are a part of trying to improve your community, trying to improve your state, and it does not mean that both and all approaches will be the same. But you have to learn to honor each other's thought process, honor each other's approaches, and in the final analysis, work together to make it right. That's what the political dealing is all about. That's why you can see Barack Obama and Joe Biden running against each other for president, yet Joe Biden becomes his candidate for vice president. Irrespective of what you may feel about her politics and actions, Hillary Clinton and Obama contested each other, but she became his Secretary of State. I learned a lot from the book that Doris Kearns, I'm blocking her name, wrote on Abraham Lincoln. And I read that book more than once. It's a pretty thick book, too. But it's all a book about how people ought to, in pursuit of the good of the country and the political good of communities, overcome their differences and work to better humankind. That's all that I ever want to do. And a lot of people get upset when you... I don't get upset with people when they disagree with me. That's how I stayed married 54 years. You know, my wife disagrees with me as recent as breakfast this morning. So these things, you know, the sequel to my book, which I've already started putting together, may pursue that. You know, you can't write a memoir. You shouldn't, I guess, but once. But there's some other things that I really, some experiences I've had that I may decide to write in such a way that young people or people coming after me might be able to benefit from.
So I go back to my original question. When are you going to start professing?
Well, you know, I do lectures every now and then. I go to colleges and universities. I go to church groups. In fact, I am going to the COCHIC, the Church of God in Christ group. Their national group will be meeting, I believe, in October. Down at Myrtle Beach, it's going to be a pretty big gathering, and I'm doing the evening lecture. We have a social action week. I'll be doing that, and I'll be talking about this other thing. I don't get very political at these kinds of gatherings, but I do try to use the scripture as I understand it in order to make political points. For instance, if I were to use Matthew 25:45, inasmuch as you've done it for the least of these, you've done it for me. I always say to people, don't just mouth that particular Bible verse. Go and read that whole chapter 25 and see what the master was attempting to teach as he built up to that. And you will find some very interesting things, the parable of the talents. It was all a parable of using whatever gifts you have and using them in such a way you get rewarded for this use. You know, one got five talents, and because he used them well, he came out with 10. One got 2 and came out with 4. The one that had only one talent didn't use that one talent that was given, and that was taken away. And so I use the scripture to say to people, if you have a talent that can be used to build your community, to build your church, to build your state and your nation, and you fail to use it, be careful, that might get taken away. We all don't have the same talents, and some of us have more talents than others. Now, I know at the time of the writing of the Bible, a talent was a portion of, it was a monetary portion, but I use it because today a talent means something different, but I think the point can be made to the benefit of some.
Sure. So as you look forward here, are you looking at any particular issues that you think? You know, one of the things I was thinking about is you're so passionate about education. You know, South Carolina State is at least, what shall we say, rocking along now. It's on a little better footing than it was. And education makes such a difference in a person's life. Are you going to be out there pushing more education for all people?
Well, sure, I always have. I do believe, though, that we have to take a hard look at a broad definition of education. I think that what we have to be careful of. I read the other day, my kids give me a hard time all the time about saying the other day when it might be 2 years ago. But I did read recently that the state of Texas, for instance, is now changing its textbooks. Now, if you're talking about whitewashing history, that's what they're doing. They're changing their textbooks and revising history according to their political thought. Mm-hmm. I think that's a dangerous thing.
I agree.
What we ought to do is teach in a way that challenges people's thoughts. My dad used to set up all kinds of examples when I grew up with two brothers. And my dad, and I talk about this in the book, would just say things and do things without any real knowledge on our part of what he was doing. And in the final analysis, he was setting up a way to teach a lesson. And I really believe that irrespective of what may be the contents of a textbook, we have to teach young people to think. Teach young people to accept challenges, just to regurgitate things. And one of the big mistakes, when I was teaching, I'd never taught memory. I remember when I was a student, we would give a test on history, and the test would all be about what year did Columbus discover America. Well, the fact of the matter is, Columbus never discovered America. he was on a trip, and even when he got here, people were here.
Right.
So how can you discover something? It may have been a discovery for you, but it wasn't a discovery for all mankind. And that's why we call the Native Americans Indians, because he thought he was in India. So the fact we need to teach. Education needs to be a challenge to people, and people need to learn how to think and learn how to challenge thought. This whole notion that you have to regurgitate dates, I never would teach dates. In fact, when I was teaching, I told my students, I only want you to learn two dates, 476 A.D., and 1066. Those were the two dates I would tell my students, please remember these two dates. After that, it's all about events. Now, 476 was the fall of the Roman Empire.
Mm-hmm.
1066 was William the Conqueror opening up the New World after we went into the quote-unquote Dark Ages after the fall of the Roman Empire. So I wanted them to remember those two dates and those two big things in overall history. But after that, let's learn events. Let's study events. Let's talk about what ifs. So I just think that we'll do well in South Carolina if we took a look at education and learn how to challenge thought and teach people to think. And I would hope all this question about core, whatever they're called.
Common Core.
I'm sorry,
Common Core.
I don't even know what that is. Really. Like No Child Left Behind. I've got a daughter who teaches, and we talk about these things all the time. I mean, she's been teaching for 22 years. She loves teaching, and I love to teach, and I still love teaching. But I don't want to teach you to tell me the date of something. I want you to tell me why you think something happened, and how you think it could have been done differently, and what result you would pursue if you had those events to live today.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. And you know, don't you think that in society today we're reaping not the benefit but the bad part of it is that people don't know how to critically think. they read it on the internet, well, then it must be true. I mean, there is no ability to reason out, and ergo, that is why I think you need to teach the art of the political deal, which would be why that people need to know how to communicate and how to reason and how to work together.
You know, you're something else. I would tell you, I keep trying to circumvent you, but you are as tenacious as anybody I've ever seen, and I really appreciate that. But what I'm going to do when I write my next op-ed piece, what I'm going to using for this next book, series of op-ed pieces, and that I'll sort of build on in trying to develop chapters. I'm going to start sending you this stuff that I write and maybe let you critique it for me.
I would like that very much.
Okay.
One last thing. I want to congratulate you on the introduction of the Background Check Completion Act. I think that is awesome. Do you have any sponsors with that on that bill?
Yes. What I think is going to happen with that bill is what happens with a lot of bills, and a lot of people look at me and says, I can't see where you ever passed anything or got anything done. Well, what happens in these bills is that the issue often gets wrapped into something called a manager's amendment. What I think is going to happen with this bill is that as a part of the overall reform in this justice reform that's taking shape, and I think there's going to be a lot of contributions to this comprehensive bill coming from the left and the right. And I've already talked to people who are pulling all that together, though I am privy to a lot of the meetings. I'm not a member of the group. Trey Gowdy, for instance, from the far right, is a member of the group. My protege from Louisiana, Cedric Richmond, is a member of that group. And I talk to Cedric almost every evening. So what I think is going to happen, they're going to come up with a comprehensive bill. And I think this is going to be a part of that bill. And that is to say that no gun purchase can be consummated until the background check has been completed. This is not to say you can't purchase a gun. This is simply to say if your purchase is subject to a background check, you cannot purchase a gun until that background check has been completed. Now, what has happened here is that in instances, because of this thing in the law, that if the check, background check has not been completed in 3 days, you can go ahead and purchase the gun.
Correct.
Though it may take 5 days or somebody may punch in something erroneously, and by the time you catch it, the 3 days have expired. But you don't say that you haven't approved. It just says it is still pending. So long as it's pending, you aren't going to consummate the sale. But the moment it's completed, and no problems, then go ahead. I think that's going to get wrapped into a big bill. And then though Jim Clyburn introduced it, and it's been all over the country that I did, you won't see my name on it when it becomes law.
Well, I think it's a good one, and I think you're commended. And if it does get wrapped into a big one that prevents things like that keep happening, I think that's a good thing for our country.
That's exactly right, and that's my soul. And so, you may recall, I've always said that there's no limit to what you can get accomplished if you don't get hung up on who gets the credit.
You are so right. Congressman Clyburn, I always appreciate our chats.
Well, thank you so much. I'll drop in to see you soon.
All right, I hope so. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.